to the prayer board before you leave this morning. If you have a prayer need or request, take a minute, come up to the table, write it out. There's some little note paper there. Clip it up on there. We pray over those on a regular basis, and I'm going to believe God for some great things to happen in your life as well. I want to talk about this thought again today on what's next, and if you can believe it, there's one next Sunday is the last Sunday of the first month of a brand new year again. My goodness, we're powering through already 2019, and there's a lot of things and a lot of opportunity ahead of everyone, and I really want to encourage you to make and I've used this phrase this week in a couple other settings, to make a disciplined decision in your life to move in the direction of where God is calling you. And it's going to take discipline on some of our parts in a decision process to help us move in that area, move towards that. And if you don't make that plan, if you don't make a decision and make that plan, you're going to wake up and you're going to be saying, wow, it's 2020 and I was going to do this last year and I didn't get to it, or I forgot, or I got busy. How many of you know that's our greatest enemy sometimes is our busyness? And if I talk to people all the time, how you doing? I'm just busy. I'm busy with this. But there's some things you have to make a priority. You have to put them in your life. And you can begin by renewing your focus on Christ in your life. Bring him into your focus stronger by just doing some simple, small things, or maybe there's some major commitments that you've just been putting off, and I'm going to talk about that in a moment. But you need to do that. You need to refocus your life on Christ. And you know, when we put him first, everything else, you and I will find out, will fall into place. Second, engage in some regular devotion, personally, corporately, together, something that will help you and lead you into the new season of your life. Regular devotion. I read a tweet by Pastor Brian Houston, the pastor of the Great Hillsong Church in Australia, really Hillsong all over the world now. And he said in the first 2 weeks of 2019 that he read the entire Old Testament. That so inspired me when I heard that. I thought, wow, what a slug am I. Which leads me to the next point here, number three, begin a regular Bible reading plan. Now, maybe you can't do that, or that just doesn't gel with your thinking or the way you are wired. But you can start somewhere. You can begin today. You can start reading a proverb every single day. You can start in the New Testament. I like to read something in the Old and the New every single day. Maybe you're not going to read for 2 or 3 hours a day, but you can read for 4 or 5 minutes. Come on, don't shout me down up here. You know, there's apps that you can get on your devices, on your phone or whatever, the YouVersion app, that if you don't want to read it, you can click on a little icon on the thing and it'll read it to you. I mean, I remember when I first became a Christian, we bought, it was a big thing, if you had the Bible on cassette tape. Did anybody ever, cassette tape. Does anybody not know what a cassette tape is? Gabe, I'm going to beat you down. He says, I really don't. A cassette tape, that was big. And then when it went to a CD, you could get the Bible on it and say, man, that was everything. Now, you don't have to have anything. You can, if you have a phone like I used to, you can just click on that YouVersion app and not only one translation, but I don't even know how many translations. And it'll read it to you. And if you have Alexa, how many of you have an Alexa? Yeah, come on. I walked into my office the other day. I had one given to me. I walked in. I go, good morning, Alexa. And she says, good morning to me. I get more respect out of Alexa than most of the staff. And I said, Alexa, can you read? And she'll just start reading that thing to me. It's just amazing. I mean, we live in a culture now that it can become so easy for you and I to learn and to hear the Word of God. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You see, we need God's Word in our lives to build up who He has called and created us to be. When the Word of God is going into your life on a regular basis, He will use that to increase the faith that you live by and that you operate in. Amen. And you and I must. The Bible says, the just shall live by faith. So if faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, God will cause your faith to increase. He will give you the opportunity to do and to become more than you ever thought you could when God's Word becomes more prevalent in your life. That's a good word right there. I could say amen, and I've spoken something powerful right there. The next thing is renew your commitment to the things that please God. And you want to know how you know that, what that is? By knowing what is in His Word. Because when you read God's Word, the Lord, through the Word, He'll put up like orange cones in your life. This is the lane that you travel in. And when I went out to clean my driveway this morning, I had put up these little stakes in the ground along the edge of my driveway when it was still green out. And this morning, had I not had those, now I know pretty much where the driveway is, even though there's snow in it, but they help me stay on track. And that's what God's Word does. He helps you to know and to understand what pleases God by knowing His Word, by engaging in regular prayer, and having that relationship and that fellowship with Him. And because when you do this, you could discover this could be the very time of your life. This could be the very moment of your life, the season that God brings this great release into your life to experience something that you never have before. And it's not just a one-time occurrence in your life. Do you know when you obey God that God will give you occurrences and opportunities and experiences on a regular basis? As I was writing these things down, I was thinking about the different moments in my life that God brought me to that were a part of my destiny. It's not that when you reach to a certain place, you think, wow, this is it. I made it. It's over. No, the Bible says He takes you from glory to glory. He's always releasing something beautiful in your life. You'll have these moments on a regular basis. They could be small moments that you look at and you say, wow, that was awesome. That was just incredible. I mean, just little things. That's just God's way of saying, hey, I got you. You're on track. My hand is upon you. I'm still concerned about you. He'll release just little things in your life, and then He'll take you and you'll see incredible big things. You'll experience monumental moments in your life when you begin to pursue Him with all of your heart. And it's not just a one opportunity, one time experience. I was thinking about this. I was thinking the different places that I have just the desire. I love to preach His Word. I don't necessarily have what some refer to as the preacher's itch, where, oh my gosh, I got to talk all the time. I got to do that. I don't have that. But I love to experience these great moments in my life where God takes me to certain places. I had that a few weeks ago when I went to Los Angeles, California, and spoke in one of the most iconic and historical churches, really, not only in the country, but one that is known around the world, where some of the greatest voices in the last century have spoken at. And there I was when I stood up there. I just stood there a moment and I thought, this is really cool, God, that you brought the little kid from South Byron, Mechanic Street, 7513 Mechanic Street, and you led me to this moment. But that's not the only exciting moment that I will ever have. God, he multiplies those moments in your life. I was thinking about this morning when I was speaking in Kenya a few years ago, out in that dirty, nasty town. It was known as an alcoholism in a town that was full of prostitutes. And I remember getting done speaking. There was a crowd out there at night. There was no chairs. There was nothing. They were standing, and they stood there and walked for miles to get there. 4,000 or 5,000 people, just a couple light bulbs. I mean, it was so dark, and the roads, everything was dirt and dusty. But I'll never forget at the end of that night when the altar call was given, and I went down front and I stood there, and this young man, I couldn't understand a thing he said, but he stood before me, and the front of his shirt was soaking wet. His feet were so just bad from walking in no shoes and in the dirt, and I could go on and on, but I can see him this moment in my life. I can see him with that shirt soaked with tears because God was working in his life. That was a moment that God led me to. And I wonder what he wants to lead you to this year. I wonder what he wants to release into your life this year. And for that to happen, you and I have to make the choice to do the work to get you to that place. And a lot of times people think about when they hear the word work, they say, can't God just give it to me? The Bible says that you and I are called to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. There is some energy that you and I have to put in to seeing our destiny and our future come to pass. There is. I watched my grandson play basketball on Friday night. And he commands that ball up and down the court, and he makes those baskets, well, most of the baskets he makes. But I look at him and I think, that just did not happen. There was energy, discipline, work, times when he didn't want to, when it felt uncomfortable, when he didn't feel good, tired, hungry, cold, hot. You don't stop because of outside influences trying to say, you don't have to do that. God doesn't want you to do that. Can I tell you, yes, he does. And I found out that the harder that I work at things, the more blessing that comes into my life. Amen. I was telling, there was an old dairy farmer, he was in the first service. He said, do you clean your driveway? I go, yeah. I said, in fact, years ago when my son Ben, when they used to live up around the corner from me, it's a true story, and it snowed real hard one day, and I drove my tractor up there. I not only cleaned his driveway, but the plows hadn't come out to clean the road yet, so I plowed a path down the road with my tractor so my son could go to work that day. I know I'm crazy. Anyways, you got to work the thing. So here, let me just give you these three thoughts, and I'm going to be done. Getting into that place of your destiny, one of the things that hinders us is just this attitude of procrastination. The word is not in the Bible, but it's full of references in the Bible. It's defined the act of willfully delaying the doing of something that should be done. Procrastination. And for some of us, it becomes a habitual part of our lives. We'll always say, well, yeah, I'm going to do that at such and such a time. Well, why not do it right now? Because when you continually and habitually procrastinate doing what you know you are called and you are equipped to do, you delay the promises and the purposes that God has for your life. And maybe it's in a myriad of things, but maybe for some of you, your destiny has never been discovered because you have procrastinated on some areas of your life for so long. You're waiting for something to be perfect right. And can I tell you something? It's never going to be always perfect conditions for you to do what you are called and supposed to do in the time that you are going to do it. You have to step out. You have to make it happen now. For some of you, maybe it's just you're procrastinating on settling a difference with somebody. You got a dispute. You've been wrestling with that. You're thinking, well, you know, I'm going to wait until they come to me, or I'm going to wait until they call me, or I've tried this. And the Bible says, Jesus said in Matthew 5:23, he said, so if you are offering your gift at the altar and there you remember your brother has something against you, leave your gift at the altar and go and be reconciled with your brother and then come and offer your gift to God. What's he saying? He's putting an emphasis on you taking responsibility right now and stop with the procrastinating. Do it now. Because for some of you, you may hear what I'm telling you today and you may say, well, you know, yeah, that was good, but I'll start it tomorrow. And we'll go into another year and you'll still be saying things like, well, yeah, I'll do it then. James 4:13 says, come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a time and then it's gone. That's a solemn thought, isn't it? Your life is just a mist. The King James Version says it's a vapor. It's here and then it's gone. Hebrews 3:12, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day as long as it is called today. Every single day. Do it now. Today is your day. Stop saying, yeah, I'll do that someday. I'll do that. Yeah, I'm gonna eat better. Yeah, I'm going to be kinder to my family members. Yeah, we're gonna go here. We're gonna do this. I'm gonna exercise. Yeah, I'm gonna make an appointment to go see the doctor. I know I haven't been feeling good, but you know, yeah, I've just been busy and busy, and all that time, you're gonna miss the promise that God has for your life. Ask the Lord to help you with this, so that you can. We can go into that next place, that destiny. The second thing that God wants to help us with is just this attitude of self-doubt. Let me tell you something. Self-doubting will kill your dreams and keep you from moving into your next destiny. I love what Thomas Edison, this quote. He said, I have not failed. I've just found 10,000 ways that won't work. Winston Churchill said, success is the ability to go from failure to failure without losing your enthusiasm. I like that. In Exodus 6, God was trying to use Moses to free the Israelites from their captors. And he begins to speak to them. In Exodus 6 and verse 9, Moses reported this to the Israelites, but they did not listen to him because of their discouragement and their cruel bondage. He's speaking to them. He's declaring their future. And they cut him right off. And it affected him. And it created this attitude of doubt in his heart. Then the Lord says to Moses, go tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the Israelites go out of his country. And Moses says to the Lord, if the Israelites don't listen to me, why do you think the Pharaoh will listen to me? And I've got a stuttering issue that I can't even get my words out right. But the reality of it is, he moved on and he did what God told him to do, despite how he felt. Sometimes we let things that have happened in our past to define who we are now, and it hinders us from moving into the destiny, into the dream, into what's next for our lives, because we're doubting. We don't think we can. We've gone through a failure. Something in our lives has hindered us, and now we allow that to try to define us from moving forward, and nothing could be further from the truth. What if Moses had given in to his self-doubt? What if you continue to give in to your self-doubt? Because God wants to move you forward into what he's called and he's created you to be and to do, even if you're dealing with it. Listen, you can deal with it. You just can't give in to it and let it define you. We need to be confident in God that if God says you can, you must, I want to tell you, then you will. You can do this. You can be this. C.S. Lewis said, too often we're like children who settle for playing in mud puddles when the beauty and the immensity of the ocean is just a few feet away. Don't stop too short. Don't quit too soon. Don't give up when God has got something beautiful in your future. And then the last thing, and I can't describe everything of what this means to you and I in just a few moments, but loneliness will rob you and I of the future that God wants to give to us. Loneliness will neutralize your dreams and what's next in your life. Loneliness will lead to depression. And listen, you can be in a crowd and you can feel lonely. Has anybody ever been there? I mean, you can be in a crowd and feel lonely. Social anxiety. Loneliness will lead to that social anxiety. And that's not a lack of social skills, but it's a fear of making a mistake when you're in a social setting. And it keeps you separated, and it keeps you away, and it creates loneliness to be a part of your life. Loneliness also contributes to addictions that people go through. I thought this was really incredible that people that deal and suffer continually with addictions find themselves separating who they are from people and becoming lonely, and the addiction is what feeds that area of loneliness in their life. Contrary, if you are dealing with something like that, one of the best things for you to do is to get around other people, is to talk about it. Loneliness doesn't develop overnight, but certain circumstances shape your personality and your identity and cause you to just recluse back. And the Lord wants you and I to really fight that urge in our lives to isolate and move towards other people. Listen, only one of you has to move. You don't have to wait for somebody else to come to you. You move to them. And I know as difficult as sometimes that may sound for some, it will save your life and it will move you to the plan that God has for your life. God has put people in and around your life. Right here this morning, right in a time like this, for somebody that you just have a hard time being around people, move towards somebody. Let somebody have a voice in your life. Connect with other people. Learn to be vulnerable. That doesn't mean you got to open up and tell everybody what you are and what you're not or anything like that. But if you're going to move towards other people, you're going to open up a little part of your life. You got to learn to change your thinking about that too. Some people just, they say, well, you know, that's just what I am. That's just who I am. Can I just encourage you today? It's not who you are. Change the way you think about it. Challenge those old cassette tapes. For guys that are my age, that play the negative thoughts constantly in your mind, get rid of that. And then last, you're going to fight that attitude of loneliness. You and I must learn to pray, seek the Lord, talk to him, have that conversation, just like I opened up with today. You got to talk to him. You got to have that relationship going on with him in his word. And just having a conversation with him. The Bible says in Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, come to me. Come, All you are weary and burdened, he said, and I will give you great rest. Take my yoke on you. Learn from me, for I am gentle. I'm humble in heart. Listen to this. This is Jesus describing. He's not there to beat you down. He's not there to hurt you. He said, I'm gentle. I'm humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden it's light. Come on, can you say amen to that today? I want you to close your eyes just for a moment. I want to pray for you today. I want those that are going to help me pray, if you just come up and stand with me just for a moment. I'm just always mindful that the power of God's Holy Spirit is, he's always in operation. Whether there's five people, 500, or 5,000, he's always in operation. He's reaching into somebody's heart and into their lives to do something amazing with them. And I believe that this morning, that God's word reached in to touch somebody's life here. The Bible says his word never returns void, but it always accomplishes where it's been sent. Something great. God, I thank you this morning. Just your eyes closed, your heads bowed. Just for a moment, I want to pray. And maybe you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ. You need to do that before you go. Let him come in and begin to live inside of you, and let him begin to direct your life in a way and in a measure that you never thought possible. Young, middle-aged, older, doesn't matter. Maybe you're here today, you've given your life to Christ, but that relationship has just gone cold. When you heard me talking about reading his word and praying, you thought for a moment, you said, boy, I've neglected that. And you may be here, you may feel surrounded by the enemy in your life. But I've come to tell you today, is the song that we sang earlier and that Andy's playing now, God's got you surrounded. He's got you in the palm of his hand. He cares for you. He's looking out for you. Thank you, God. I hear in my heart, just keep your eyes closed, your heads bowed. I hear in my heart saying, somebody is just saying, I wish that could be for me. I wish I didn't do this. I wish I hadn't have gone there. I just want you to know that God's got you covered. He cares for you. His plan has not stopped for you. Thank you, God, for that. Lord, I thank you for each one that is here today, for your hand to be mightily upon them and their future, their destiny. I pray that for them, for each one, the what's next in their lives will begin even today as they make these decisions. Stop procrastinating. Stop with the self-doubt and move away from a lonely life. God, I thank you for your love. I pray your blessing and your hand upon every life here today. I ask it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. I love you. You need prayer for anything before you go, come on down. Let one of these great folks here, we've got two ladies down here today, and Brad T in the middle, will pray over you and believe God with you today, okay? I love you. Go in his grace today.